I'm very happy to be back again with us, with you guys this morning to finish Psalm 16. I really enjoyed looking into and studying this psalm. So we will be finishing Psalm 16. We looked at verses 1 through 6 last Sunday. So this morning we'll be looking at Psalm 16, verses 7 through 11. And we'll be reading that shortly. First, I wanted to tell you about a pastor. He shared a story from his own life, meeting a young kid while surfing. The pastor said this: "A few weeks ago, when I was out surfing, there was no one else in the water. In fact, there was no one around at all except a guy the size of Goliath doing Taekwondo on the beach. After I had been out a little while, a tiny wisp of a kid came paddling up out of nowhere. I couldn't believe he was out there by himself. He pulled his little board right up next to mine. He was so small, he hardly needed a board. He could have stood up in the ocean on a frisbee. He started chatting with me like we were old friends. He told me his name was Shane. He asked me how long I'd been surfing. I asked him how long he'd been surfing. He said, 7 years. How old are you? I asked. 8. He asked me about my kids and my family. Then he said, what I like about surfing is that it's so peaceful. You meet a lot of nice people here as well. You're a nice guy, Shane, I said. That's why you meet nice people. We talked a little longer. Then I asked him, how did you get here, Shane? My dad brought me, he said. Then he turned around and waved at the nearly empty beach. The Goliath doing martial arts waved back. Hi, son, he called out. Then I knew why Shane was so at home in the ocean. It wasn't his size. It wasn't his skill. It was who was sitting on the beach. His father was always watching, and his father was very big. Shane wasn't really alone at all, and neither are we. We're going to look at the rest of Psalm 16 today, and we are going to see that we are never alone. For we will see in this, we will see that in his presence, I shall not be shaken. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. So let's read Psalm 16 together. Again, we'll read the entire psalm, just 11 verses, but we'll be looking at 7 through 11. So Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offering of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Last week, we looked at the first 6 verses of this chapter. We looked into the confidence and contentment in the Lord, verses 1 through 4. And the provisions of the Lord in verses 5 and 6. We saw that in the Lord we have all that we need. In Him we have our confidence and our contentment, as we see that we have no good apart from Him. Those who worship the one true Lord are blessed and provided for, unlike the ungodly who worship other gods, not the one true God. They shall only find sorrow, and their sorrow shall be multiplied. We also saw how serious He took the false gods, as He would not even take their names on my lips, He said. He would not name them as to give them familiarity or legitimacy. But we know we have a beautiful inheritance in Christ, an eternal inheritance in and through Him alone. Some of the particular blessings of this inheritance, which is God Himself for eternity, now come into focus. To have Him is to enjoy not only guidance and stability, but resurrection and endless joy. So David in this psalm continues to meditate on the greatness and goodness of God. So in verses 7 and 8, we see the presence of the Lord. We see the presence of the Lord in verses 7 and 8. We see David continues to meditate on His greatness and on God's goodness. We see him in verse 7 praising the Lord who gives him counsel. Verse 7 says, I bless the Lord, I bless Yahweh, who gives me counsel. David says, Yahweh, the Lord, is my counselor. We see examples of this throughout the Bible. A very well-known verse that speaks of this is Isaiah 9 and verse 6, one that's often read during Christmas. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Also in Isaiah 28 and verse 29, this also comes from the Lord of hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Wonderful Counselor. As I said, we come to verse 7, praising the Lord for His counsel. What exactly does this mean? His counsel. An article on this subject said this, that Isaiah calls the Messiah the Wonderful Counselor indicates the kind of character this coming king has. The word wonderful in this passage literally means incomprehensible. The Messiah will cause us to be full of wonder. The word is so much weightier than the way it's used in normal conversation today. We say things are wonderful if they are pleasant, lovely, or the least bit likable. Jesus is wonderful in a way that is boggling to the mind. The same word for wonderful is used in Judges 13, verse 18, when Samson's father asked the Lord what his name was. The angel of the Lord responded, why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful? In other words, why do you ask my name, seeing it is beyond your understanding? The article goes on to say, the second part of the Messiah's title is the word counselor. In ancient Israel, a counselor was portrayed as a wise king, such as Solomon, giving guidance to his people. Isaiah uses the word again in Isaiah 28 and verse 29 to describe the Lord. As we just read, this also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. Jesus is a wise counselor. He did not need any testimony about mankind, for he knew what was in each person. He is able to advise his people thoroughly because he is qualified in ways no human counselor is. In Christ is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2:3 tells us, including the knowledge of all human nature. Jesus always knows what we are going through, and he always knows the right course of action. Christ as our wonderful counselor means we can trust him to listen to our problems and guide us in the right direction. Proverbs 3 and verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. We can be assured he is listening because he told us to pray to him about our worries. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He hears us. Also, James 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask God because he hears us. We also know he has our best interest at heart because he loves us. 1 John 4, verse 19, we love because he first loved us. The love he has is so wide and deep and wonderful that we cannot fully understand it. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We can clearly see why David praises the Lord who gives counsel. The verse goes on to say, in the night also my heart instructs me. He receives wisdom and direction from the Lord. We know this wisdom is obtained through several ways. Several ways we can obtain this wisdom from the Lord. First, the Word of God. We see this in Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Of course, in the word of God, we are going to find counsel and instruction. It is going to light and guide our path. Second, through prayer. As we read and grow in the knowledge of the Lord through his word, we have to communicate with him through prayer. Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who is searching hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we see through his word, we receive wisdom and counsel. We see through prayer. And then also, third, we receive wisdom and direction through the excellent ones, brothers and sisters in Christ. We saw this from verse 3 last week. We also see this in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where that says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are to stir, to motivate one another to love and good works, and to encourage one another. So we see we can obtain wisdom and counsel through his word, through prayer, through our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then fourth, we receive wisdom and direction in worship. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We see from this passage that when we worship the Lord, we are worshiping him for, yes, who he is, but also for the benefits we find in him. And then we can see the benefits of forgiveness, healing, redeeming us from the pit, crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies us with good. We worship him for all the things and so much more. We worship him, as we've said, for what we know of him. We know he is resting and depending on the Lord. The Lord fills his mind. The Lord also instructs his heart, his soul, all of him. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. He makes a bold statement in this verse, I shall not be shaken. The psalmist is only able to make such a statement because of his position in the Lord. He tells us, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, because the Lord is always before him, and he is at his right hand, he can boldly proclaim, I shall not be shaken. At my right hand means someone who will stand by you, and even more specifically, stand by you in court or in battle. So he's saying, because I have the Lord with me in battle, I shall not be shaken. When the unknown things of this world come, when worry and fear and hurt and pain, I shall not be shaken. Because he, the Lord, is at my right hand. He, the Lord, is with me in battle. I pray that we are a congregation that can boldly echo this verse, because we are people who have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Let the pandemics, the wars, the struggles of this world come, because when they do come, I shall not be shaken. We can clearly see in these two verses the presence of the Lord. Now, in the last three verses, we are going to see the promise of the Lord, the promises of the Lord in verses 9 through 11. We see the psalmist can rest in the Lord, in whom he is completely satisfied. We have his peace in verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Here, David is not only rejoicing inwardly, he is rejoicing outwardly as well. He has a confidence about his whole being. One commentary said this, the ground for the psalmist's joy is twofold. First, his God is the sovereign master to whom he has fled for protection. And we know this because we saw this in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. We know from last week, as it says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Second, the Lord has been good to him. We see this in verses 2 and also verses 5 through 8. He has not been disappointed in having sought him as the grounds for his entire being. David is secure in body and soul. Is your heart glad because your whole being rejoices? Can you rejoice like the psalmist does because he knows his flesh dwells secure? We see he's not only secure in the Lord here in his body, here in this earth, where we know he takes refuge in him. We know he has no good apart from him. Now he looks forward to the future, and he sees the Lord's power once again. He knows that even though his flesh dwells secure in the Lord as his refuge and as his good, he knows one day his flesh will fail. But we see in verse 10, he still sees the power of the Lord. Verse 10 says, For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. The primary significance of this text is the confidence of the psalmist and his relationship with God. His relationship with God will not end with death. For Peter and Paul, the text spoke of the resurrection. One commentary on this verse said this of Peter and Paul. They appropriately argue that since David died and did not raise from the grave, the psalm receives a special significance in view of Jesus' death and resurrection. Jesus, as the Son of David, arose from the dead because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. We see this in Acts 2, verse 24. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Our confidence and our contentment and our position with the Lord is all through Jesus Christ, who conquered death and sin. We as sinful, fallen people, we who even if we try to attempt to do good in our own strength, in our own flesh, we know is as filthy rags. It is only in Christ, it is only through his great sacrifice for us, that we are able to stand forgiven, restored, justified in his sight. The commentary goes on to say, in the progressive unfolding of God's revelation, Peter saw a prophetic sense in the psalm. The resurrection of our Lord gives a ground for the confidence of all believers, since they too will not suffer corruption. The Father will crown his beloved with life. God is concerned with the whole being, and therefore the body is included in the renewal of life. I want us to look at Acts 2, verses 22 through 32. We see Peter understood what David was saying in this psalm. Let me read for you Acts 2, 22 through 32. That says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with mighty works and wonders and signs and that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosening the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me." A lot of these verses should sound familiar. "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day, being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. He foresaw and spoke in the resurrection of the Christ that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." We see Peter is quoting from Psalm 16, and he says in verse 26 and 27, "Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also dwells in hope." For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. He echoes what David is saying in this psalm. I rejoice and dwell in hope. For you, my Lord, will not abandon my soul to the grave, to death. This is the promise of the Lord. We can be confident in Him, in His presence, in our is our gladness. Yes, we have the experience of His power, a power that raised God's Son from the grave. This is His promise to us, a beautiful inheritance of God's children. This chapter comes to its culmination in verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David's confidence in the Lord is right. The God I can trust in the future is the God I can trust today. We enjoy His presence. The psalmist knows life is experienced here with the blessings of the Lord. You make known to me the path of life, the way that leads to life. Only the ones who have put their faith and trust in the Lord. It is a fullness of life that only the wise, only the faithful can achieve. God's blessing accompanies a life lived in the presence of God. The psalmist perceives life in fellowship with God, both in this world and in the next. We find joy and presence. We find joy in present experiences in God's presence. But also in God's presence lies hope of lasting joy. Lasting joy in fellowship with God. In your presence there is fullness of joy. We looked at verse 2 last week. David wrote, I have no good apart from you. Now, he ends the psalm with, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. All our joy, all our good comes from the Lord. We must stop looking to the things of this world, our money, our possessions, our fame, our power, our relationships. We must stop looking at these to give us good, to give us joy. If we have any of those things, it is because of Christ. It is in Him that we have what we have and how much we have of it. We must stop looking outward for our contentment and joy, but we must only look upward for our contentment and our joy. Yes, in Him, in His presence, there is fullness of joy. But we also see the end of verse 11 tells us that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In verse 8, the Lord is at David's right hand with His perfect presence. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Now we see we are at His right hand where we find pleasures forevermore. J. Ritterbose said this. This verse speaks also in comprehensive expressions. Viewed in the light of the New Testament, it contains a clear prediction of the eternal joy of life received in Christ through His resurrection, and further, of the eternal bliss of all who are in Christ. In Christ, what more could a believer ask for? You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What a wealth of encouragement and joy we find in Psalm 16. We see the confidence we have in the Lord. He preserves us, and in Him we take refuge. We find contentment in Him. He is my Lord. I have no good apart from Him. We also see the provisions of the Lord. as he is our chosen portion in our cup. He alone holds my lot, and only in him do we find a beautiful inheritance. We also find the presence of the Lord in this psalm. He is the one who gives us counsel and instructs our heart. Because I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my side, I can boldly proclaim, I shall not be shaken. Then we also see the promise of the Lord. We can rest fully in him, for in him my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices, for our flesh dwells secure in him. We know in his promise to his people that he will not abandon our souls to Sheol, to death, or let us see corruption. We know this because you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we praise and worship you today as we echo with the Psalms. Because of your presence, only because of the great power we find in you, in Christ, that we can proclaim, I shall not be shaken. Lord, I pray that as we are people who desire to know and grow closer to you, Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are dedicated and committed to knowing you more, to loving you more. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, the counsel. Lord, as you are our wonderful counselor, I pray, Lord, that your something wise counsel
please try again
would help and guide us. Lord, as we seek your perfect will for our lives, Lord, I pray that you would make our path straight as you instruct us. And Lord, we pray and we praise you and proclaim how great you are. For Lord, we know that at your right hand, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. And Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.